Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. As always, call-in number is 858-683-1326 or area code 502-805-0334. For you guys who are already lining up in the queue listening, thank you for that. But if you want to talk on air, hit that little number one on your dial pad, and that lets us know you want to be here. In the meantime, as always on Wednesday night, a good friend, Mr. Dale "The Truth" Gillespie, joins us. How are you, sir?
How you doing, my friend?
Man, if I was any better, it would be sinful. And the wife tells me I'm not allowed to sin, so I'm not sure how much better I can really get, but I'm going to find out one day. I tell you, you know, Dale, it seems like there's always, always something to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
And it's mainly because it's so laughable what this idiotic government of ours continues doing. And I know you love talking about that, being the liberty-minded guy that you are.
Yep.
You know, I think I want to start tonight. We've got so many things to get into. We're going to get into a little bit of right to work tonight, folks. We got started on it last night. Okay. I want to continue that tonight because I want Dale Gillespie's thoughts on that. I just love him on that.
I didn't get to hear you last night, so I hope I don't step on what you and Mr. Martin talked about.
It doesn't matter to me, man. Your opinion, I just love your opinion on that stuff because you just kind of tell it like it is. But really, I want to start with this Obamacare deal. Have you been paying attention to what's going on upon the Hill?
A little bit. If you want to give the audience the intro, and we can discuss it.
Well, apparently there's 18, mind you, Democratic U.S. senators and senators-elect. They sent a letter to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid last week. They want a delay in the implementation of the medical device tax that Obamacare has. Now, this is one of those little things that nobody wanted to talk about in mainstream, but they're going to be taxing the medical devices and things like this. What that means is companies who make medical devices are going to be taxed as well. The problem is the medical technology industry actually directly employs over 400,000 people in the United States. It is directly responsible for a total of 2 million high-skilled manufacturing jobs. And the Democrats, you know, who refused to read the Obamacare bill before they passed it, now have had time to kind of go through it, and they're like, uh-oh. What does this tell us, man? I mean, this is awesome to me.
Well, my guess is the great majority of Democrats who are not bucking Obama on socialized health care, they just are going to do whatever the party establishment tell them to. But I guess the other ones are kind of doing what Nancy Pelosi told them, that is, pass it first, didn't read it, and now they're reading it and thinking, oh, hell, what did we pass? And, you know, they do this kind of thing all the time. And the thing about it is, I think the House Republicans should support this repeal of the medical device tax, and they should propose a bill repealing it all, by the way, and see how far that goes.
Well, you know, but you know, here's my thing. Why would the Republicans appeal this? And I tell you, I mean that sincerely, because if they agreed to repeal just this portion of the Obamacare bill, then they're capitulating. I mean, you know, they went on the record doing everything they could. Romney even said it was going to be his first goal as president to eliminate Obamacare. Yeah. And, of course, it backfired miserably against him. And now we've got this. Why would you capitulate to these guys?
I know the argument is out there that the left wanted all this, so they should they should own it. And when the whole thing burns to the ground, take responsibility. We know that's not going to happen. They're always going to try to pass the buck, and you know they had to pass the bill to find out what's in it. That's what Nancy Pelosi said. You got to pass it first to get through the fog of the controversy and see what's really in it. But I mean, the GOP does it all the time too. So it's
well,
something every day. Every time something bad is discovered about this administration, something else is out there. They put some other bright, shiny object out there to divert our attention.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. We got plenty to choose from today on that one as well. But the interesting thing to me, this is why the Republicans need to let them own this and refuse to capitulate. Because, you know, Nancy Pelosi decided to make it a big deal to pass this without reading it. Mainstream media even let her off the hook. They reported it as a blip on the nightly news, but they didn't spend any time going through Obamacare and all of this other stuff. You know, they're sitting here living in this, I don't know, ivy-colored walls room, you know, trying to protect Obama and his plans at all costs. So, you know, I blame mainstream media as much as Nancy Pelosi or anybody else for this travesty we call Obamacare. But I would let them own this thing. And if I was a Republican, I would spend millions of dollars putting that statement out there out of Nancy Pelosi's mouth, because I've got the audio recording of it, saying, just pass it, we'll deal with the details later. And then next to that, in a 30-second spot, run another commercial showing this. Because already, Indiana-based Zimmer Holdings, and this is why it's important to our region, because Indiana, Zimmer Holdings, they manufacture hip replacement implants. They have already laid off 450 workers because they anticipate $60 million in new taxes against them in 2013. Stryker Corporation, they also produce hip plants. They're out of Michigan. They've already laid off 5% of their workers because they feel like they're going to lose about $100 million in taxes next year.
You talked about Romney, and again, we know the disaster that was the Romney campaign. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these Republicans, you'll hear people who are the big cheerleaders for the neocons, and they'll say, oh, better not be saying bad things about Republicans. You can see it's the Democrats who are for Obamacare. Well, what did the Republicans do? I think one of the main reasons they banded together against Obamacare is because the force feeding required to pass it. If it had been more moderate or had been their idea, such as Romney care back in the day, they would have happily cast aside the Constitution and voted aye all around. But like everything else in D.C., it's about the internal politics about it. It's not about the people or the Constitution, and that's what people need to wake up to.
Well, and you're right about that. And, the reality is that the medical device industry has one hell of a powerful lobby. I mean, they do. They spend mega bucks lobbying Congress, and they're probably going to get what they want.
Yeah.
But, for me, it's just another example of what's wrong with liberalism and the Democrats in this country. Because when you look at all the things going on in Michigan, for example, with the right to work, let's face the facts here. The unions bankrupted Michigan. They did. Detroit especially was just left in rubble.
Yep.
Because of all the unions and all the other crap that was going on in Michigan. So they just passed the right to work. But yet, when GM and all these other people went into bankruptcy to protect General Motors or Government Motors, as we call them, the unions got to keep their pensions and everything else. They were exempted from the bankruptcy rules and all of that stuff. But the non-union people that worked under GM, like Delphi and all those guys, they lost every bit of their pension, their retirement, and every other stuff. So, this is another form of protectionism that these guys are going to try to get. And if I were the Republican Party right now, I would draw a line in the sand here.
The Republican Party should have failed. What they failed to do, what they should have done, was hammer away on what would happen when Obama gets returned. We heard old Mitch McConnell. We heard old Teddy Ruxpin, Mitch McConnell, get up there and say, I would say you could read his lips, but he doesn't have lips. And he always said that getting Obama to be a one-term president was his major objective. But even if that's the case, even if you're that shallow and that is your only objective, then go about it the right way. Did you hear any of the Republicans during the presidential election talk about the impact of Obama's gagging energy resources? Did you hear anything about the impact of Supreme Court appointments or the 18,000 new IRS agents? Did the Republicans ever mention these things?
No, of course they didn't. And, that's the fascinating thing, too, because these were the things that we've been mentioning all across MVM Radio, not just on the Ed Springsteen show, but your show on Thursday night's TNT show, Ken Mulvin of Liberty Unbridled, our Sunday night show. Across the board, we were focusing on those things, the failed energy policies, the billions of dollars that we have lost in that kind of stuff. But mainstream media will not do their job.
Nope.
That's why I'm thankful for people like Stitcher who picked up MVM Radio now. I mean, on Stitcher now. And I'm thankful for that because that tells me more and more people are going outside of mainstream to get information.
Well, we talked about the people, and one thing I'm just going to bring in off the cuff. I know you and I don't rehearse what we're going to talk about, which I think makes the show better.
That's why I don't talk to you guys a day of the show. Go ahead.
That's right. We just come at our different points of view. And I tell the audience, I like it if Ed would disagree with me. It's more fun, but we do tend to agree a lot more. I've kind of rubbed off on them, I think. But one of the stories that the media doesn't shine the light on, like I just said, they put out these shiny objects to try to get you to look at all this pop culture crap.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, Ed, have you heard about this story, or how many of our audience have heard about this story? This goes back to just 2 weeks ago, how there was a bombing of a Social Security building. Did anybody talk about this?
No, nobody talked about it. Matter of fact, I didn't even talk about it, and I should be ashamed of myself.
No, I just wonder if you knew about the story, because apart from local media outlets in Phoenix, the media has virtually ignored it. Fox News didn't even cover it. Surprise, surprise. And it was the bombing of a Social Security Administration building in Casa Grande, Arizona, just 2 weeks ago. I mean, imagine if a Tea Party member had done this, the hysteria there would have been.
Oh, there's no doubt
about
it.
But I think the reason that we didn't hear about it, And again, this can go all the way back, and maybe we'll have to talk about this tomorrow night, the Middle East connection back to the Oklahoma City bombing and everything. But I think the main reason that we didn't hear about a Social Security building being bombed was because the guy who carried it out was Abdullah al-Dosari, an Iraqi refugee who helped the United States against Saddam Hussein.
Well, I mean, Barack Obama's sole presidential policy is protect the Muslim Brotherhood. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he surrounded his whole cabinet and people of power with nothing but the Muslim Brotherhood. So, of course, we're not going to hear about that because mainstream media loves that shit, too. I mean, that's the problem.
Well, I posted the link in the chat room just now. But like I said, this is a story about an Iraqi refugee who helped the United States and George Herbert Walker Bush against Saddam Hussein back in 1991. And, oh, by the way, he just bombed a Social Security Administration building outside of Phoenix, Arizona, and nobody covered it.
Right. And they're not going to. Because, you know, it's interesting that we will create a major nightmare, and we'll have 24/7 coverage of the Catholic Church fighting to not pay for condoms and birth control pills through their insurance, which is against their religion, which is exactly what their business is. You know, something as silly as that, we'll get 24/7 coverage. But we have Muslims in America still committing terrorist acts, but we're not allowed to talk about the Muslims. You know, and when you get into this kind of thing, I mean, there's so many things that mainstream media will not talk about. You know, not just the terrorist thing there, but let's look at the black-on-white crime going on. I mean, hell, look at Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. Did you see the most recent picture that came out the night he got attacked? I mean, his nose is clearly broken, blood all over his face, not to mention the cuts on the back of his head. But no, he's a racist because he intentionally followed Trayvon just to shoot him. I mean, there's all kinds of silly crap, but you can't tell the truth in that stuff. And that's mainstream media. That's why people are coming to places like MVM Radio or LouisvillePolitics.com. Here on a local level, let's talk about WFPL.org. People want the truth, and they're realizing. And that's why other journalism is going broke. CNN is not making money anymore. MSNBC is on life support. Fox is actually making money, believe it or not, but they're not making what they used to. So, you know, people are getting away from that. Thank God, because it creates a door of opportunity for us. But, you know, we look at this stuff, the Obamacare mess, the energy crisis mess. Mainstream media doesn't follow anything. And here's a story out today that was just put in the chat room by a good friend, Paul, over Stop It. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is another thing that should never happen. The government, the Associated Press is reporting that a registered sex offender working as an intern for Democratic Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey is now facing deportation after being arrested by federal immigration authorities. Now, here's the thing. Homeland Security told immigration agents not to arrest this 18-year-old until after Election Day. That's according to a U.S. official. They did not want this out there. So you've got an illegal alien. That's already one strike against you. A registered sex offender. That's two strikes against you. Working for a Democratic senator. So we've got to cover this and hide this and don't do anything to him until after Election Day because we don't want it to come back on Barack Obama.
That could be the best cover-up since the days of Barney Frank's underage homosexual prostitution ring out of his apartment. Remember that?
Well, you would think. Oh, yeah. You would think. And Barney Frank got away with that crap, too.
Sure.
You know, and Bill Clinton employed illegal immigrants as his limo drivers. So, you know, I mean, this is fascinating to me because the Democrats – you know, they want to continue talking out both sides of their mouth. They're all for legalization. They're for this, for that. But the reality is they're employing all these illegals because they can get them for dirt cheap, abuse them, and lose them, and they know it. And then when the government is actually working in conjunction, you know, with the administration, when the president is working with law enforcement and everything else to hide illegal behavior for political gain, what does that tell us about the state of America? We're in deep shit, man.
Well, that's why I think it's very hypocritical. I mean, people can have either side of belief on this immigration issue. And the thing is, I mean, borders are imaginary lines. And, again, I can see both sides of the issue because I understand a lot of people want to say, oh, round them all up and put them on buses and send them back. We know that's not going to happen. Whether you want it to or not, it's not going to happen. But I've said this for so long now. If people want to do something about immigration, you better crack down on the people that are hiring them because I don't blame people. You know, if the economy is so bad in your country that you're coming to the crappy economy of the United States, then I don't blame you for trying to better yourself. You need to go out to the people who employ them if you truly care about them not getting jobs under the table.
Well, that's exactly it. But when you're an elected official and you're the one employing these guys under the table for your own benefit, and you're lying to the American people, I mean, that's an entirely different situation
sure.
for me.
Yeah.
I mean, this is treasonous. I mean, it really is. I mean,
sure it is, treason doesn't count anymore. I mean, you can
right.
go back
nobody
and
would do anything.
See where people were convicted and basically put to death for treason. I'm afraid these days treason would be if you're one of these patriots that they say are on the watch list. So that mm-hmm. that unfortunately would probably be the way they bring back death chambers for treason is if it was one of these patriots who are militia people or against the government, because then they can call that treason. But the fact is, people who do things against the United States are the problem, not the people who go against the government. The country and the government are two different things.
Oh, I agree totally with you. And, you know, when you talk about holding the employer responsible and things like that, it's actually something I've been advocating for a long time as well. You know, and believe it or not, we were on agreement with that one. We've been in agreement with that one since before we ever met.
Oh, yeah.
This was actually something I've been speaking about for many years. I even went public with that stance back during my election in 2006. So, you know, you've got to hold the employers responsible. You've got to make minimum fines, and I don't mean these $50, $100, or $1,000 fines. You've got to make it where the employer is going to lose more than the value of that employee. So what I've always suggested is that you have a daggone mandatory fine of up to $100,000 per employee that's found to be illegal, but no less than $25,000.
I mean, I just want people not to be hypocritical about it. You can't have Jim Bob's lawn service or Billy Bob's bricklaying company over here off Dixie mm-hmm. Highway and then have Jim Bob and Billy Bob talk about how horrible right. and terrible those Mexicans are, and then they hire them to work for them because it costs them less.
Oh, I agree. I agree totally. So that's something that really has to be looked at. But, you know, that's one thing that makes it even more important when we talk about right to work. I want to get into that and a couple other stories, but we're going to take a quick break first. If I don't take a break now, chances are I'll blow right through it, and I've got to get something hot on this throat, or I will never make this whole show. Uh-huh. So we'll be right back, folks. Stick around. You're listening to the Ed Spencer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Just a reminder, folks, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 to call in numbers. For you guys who are still listening in the queue, don't forget to hit that little number 1 on your dial pad, and we will get you on air as soon as we can. Coming back from break, you know, we're going into break. We're talking a lot about the problems with government. We've run the gamut from you know, Michigan and everything else, what's going on across the country. But I want to come back to this whole right-to-work situation, Dale, because you weren't with us last night.
Yep.
And you have strong feelings on right-to-work. For the listeners who may not know what's going on, Michigan traditionally is an ultra-liberal state. They went for Barack Obama again this year, but miraculously, their legislature is Republican-controlled. Their House and their Senate are Republican-controlled, and their governor is Republican. So they've got a clean slate across the board with Republican rule. Well, anyway, the legislature last week, under the cover of darkness, if you will, fast-tracked right-to-work laws in Michigan. Governor Rick Snyder, who really wasn't for right-to-work in the first place, did say that if it went passed through and it went to his desk, he would sign it. I mean, he's obligated to do that, and he did. So there was all kinds of mass protests yesterday, a few thousand people there. The last number I had was 12 or 13,000 protesters showed up yesterday in Lansing, Michigan, at the Capitol. You know, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, good. And that sounds kind of funny coming from me, Dale. I know this because I'm a union supporter.
You're Mr. Union.
Well, I'm a union supporter, but the one thing I've always said was that I support the union membership and the right to collective bargaining. I never said that I supported union leadership. As a matter of fact, I always chastise union leadership. So the whole concept of unions, I'm in full support of. However, today's union is not what a union was designed or ever meant to be. Today's union is nothing more than a corporate business that the corporate business that they purport to bargain against is. I mean, if Ford is a business, well, so is the UAW. You know, so they become this whole corporate empire where they really don't care about the worker either. All they care about are the union dues. So what right to work does is it tells people essentially that if you're going to go to work at, let's say, a Ford Motor Company, Ford Motor Company is a union shop, but you have the right to work there, but you do not have to pay union dues or seek representation from the union. That's essentially all right to work is. Is that the nuts and bolts of it?
Well, that's the main reason that I've always been for the right to work. And I know you hear union people degrade and say, oh, it's the right to work for less money and all this. Mm-hmm. But what I don't understand is if you want to join the union and I don't, why should I be forced to? And that's the problem I have. I get that people like the UAW and Ford or UFCW and Kroger, I get that they have come to an agreement together. And I get that one could always make the argument, oh, you don't have to work there at all. But to me, it's still, why should you have to join this organization, this, I was about to call it, you know, arm of our organized crime. I meant to say organized labor, Freudian slip there. But, I mean, why should I have to have to join this organized labor group in order to work for XYZ company? So that's my thing. And I know why they forced that, because like you just said, if I can work for the company and not be union, and you can work for it and be union, they're going to see that I'm getting all the benefits that you're getting, and they don't need me to join the union then.
Well, and that's exactly it. I mean, I understand the concept of everybody should be, you know, it's a union shop. The union was voted in with a majority vote. When you go out to Ford and the UAW represents Ford, for example, the auto industry, you know, that union was voted in. When you go to work there, you know that that is a union shop. You know that the UAW represents the workers at Ford. You accept that as part of that job to take that job. You know, when I look at the words right to work, everybody has a right to work, okay? But if that company is a union shop because it was negotiated and the majority brought it in, then you go to work at that company and then you follow those rules. My problem today is this, and this is the biggest crux of my problem. Union leaders, everybody from your committeeman up to your union presidents today, they don't protect the worker from anything. I can give you a list of horror stories from Ford Motor Company. Now, I worked at Ford Motor Company, and I took the buyout back in 2006, or the end of 2006, beginning of 2007. That's when I left Ford, right, when they started going through everything and laying off everybody forever. But, you know, I took the buyout and walked away. Back then, we still had some protection because the union forced the company to abide by the rules that they both agreed to.
Right.
It doesn't work that way anymore. There are people literally abused at Ford right now, and the union committeemen are saying, tough shit. Just give us your dues. Tough. There's nothing we can do about it. The company's not going to do anything about it. We can't fight with them on it, because if we do, they're just going to pick up and move. So the company has all the power anyway.
Well,
the unit is just collecting money for nothing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That would be my fear. And I've been in these unions myself before, and in very short periods of time, thankfully. But that would be my fear if you join a company and you're working for XYZ company, and then you had to join a local 666 to be in that company. Well, if it's happened like you just said, which you know far more about it from these people that you know who were out there and maybe are still out there than I do, if this is happening, then why the hell do they want to pay their union dues? You know?
Well, I wouldn't
want to pay
exactly
my union
it.
Dues if the union steward's telling me, you know, tough shit on it.
Well, I mean, and that's exactly it. You know, it's fascinating to me because, you know, for me to pay a union dues, I can actually negotiate for myself.
Right.
I don't need somebody. Now I
understand. Right, that's why I don't like collective bargaining, because I feel the same way.
Now I understand that, you know, you're in your bargaining, there's strength in numbers. So when the UAW is out there bargaining and negotiating a contract for 73,000 people or whatever their numbers are today, you know, I understand that you're bargaining from a position of strength for wages and health care and benefits, things like that. You know, but when it comes to day-to-day operations, that is one of the biggest reasons most people have a union in the first place. A union was never designed to get rich off
right.
of the employees. The union
right.
was designed to do one thing only, to make sure that the employee was treated fairly in all aspects, from their pay wages to their retirement or medical benefits, et cetera, to the way that they're actually treated when they're working on that line. The problem today is the wages and benefits are going to be there. Toyota's already proven that.
Yep.
You go to Georgetown, Toyota pays the same wages and benefits. And as I pointed out last night, the biggest difference between Toyota and Ford when it comes to the actual cost per employee is only because Ford has been in business so long that they have all these legacy costs for retirees because
yep.
of contractual obligations that they made. Toyota hasn't been around long enough to have that problem yet, although they're starting to get into that situation now. You know, but the wages and benefits portion of that is basically the same. So what do the employees really need? They need protection on the work floor. You know, when the unions came about and started coming across with the child labor laws, safety in the workplace, unions have been responsible for most of the modern-day beneficial things for employees there are. But we're going backwards now. Over the last 5 years, I've seen a major influx in the way that these companies, especially these union companies, are treating these employees on the line. And it's become quite alarming that they are, you know, everything they say is going retro, but it looks like they're trying to go retro all the way back to the 1950s and 1960s mindset, and that's not going to happen in 21st century America. And a union's not doing anything about it.
And I'd argue with what you're saying about that. You know, I definitely believe that's happening. My concerns about unions predate that to the fact that just the word collective bargaining, you're bargaining as a collective union, and I don't believe in collective groups. I believe in individuals, and I think that I, Dale, have the right to bargain for what I want. And why would I be bargaining for a demographic of people who may not have anything in common with me? And we see that with a lot of these unions, whether it be with the UFCW. Yeah, you'll have 16- and 17-year-olds coming in bagging groceries. But what camaraderie or commonalities do they have with a 45-, 50-year-old man who's really putting his fist down on what the union does at Kroger? And the same thing for package handlers at UPS. If you're a college kid and you're throwing packages around to make extra spending money or get through college, mm-hmm. what commonality are you going to have with the 45-year-old truck driver, the UPS truck driver, who's the big Teamsters guy that you go to? There's no commonality there. They're not the same people, so how can you bargain collectively for them? And then you'll have part-time people paying full-time union dues because they're outnumbered by the full-time union. That's why democracy is a bad idea, and that's why I'm glad that our country is not a democracy, because our country would be far worse now than it already is. If it were a democracy, it would resemble the Teamsters.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, and that is really, truly a problem. You know, and the thing is for me, as always, the only thing I've ever wanted, the only thing I ever expected from my union or anybody else is to make sure that I'm treated fairly. That doesn't mean if I come into work drunk or high, like these GM workers just got caught doing, and they've been out of work for 2 years, and they just got their jobs back. Well, the union got our job back. Well, you dumbass, you should have come to work drunk or high. they got caught smoking and drinking in a parking lot on break. Well, that's our time. No, it's not. No, it's not. Your time is the time before you punch in to start that work day to the time you punch out to end that work day. Your breaks are part of the company. People are working on the job,
and I know a lot of our listening audience have been in unions. And if you haven't been in one, you've at least heard the stories. I've seen it firsthand. But how many people have even either heard it or seen it where one group of employees is told not to work so hard because they're making the other union members look bad?
Oh, yeah. That's a constant thing.
I mean, that worries me. That was the thing I hated about unions, because I was always a hard worker, and what I saw was if you come in on the bottom, I know the union people are going to hate this, but I was thinking about this and talking about this with some friends the other day. Basically, if you come into a union now, it's a pyramid scheme. It's a Ponzi scheme, because you're coming in as a bunch of low-level wage people, the very bottom, that long line of the triangle, and you're hoping and praying that you live and breathe and don't get laid off long enough to make it to the point at the top of the triangle, and then you'll have some power in the union.
Well, and you're absolutely right. You know, and like I said again, I mean, I want the unions to do what they're supposed to do. That's protect the worker.
Right.
I don't want the unions to think that they are the company, that they are supposedly running the company, because they're not. We've got somebody in the chat room, Nazi, who says he's from Michigan.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're taking calls, of course, folks.
Yeah, don't call in.
I just did in the chat room. Of course, we've announced the numbers. I'll announce them one more time. 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And Nazi, if you're one of those people that's in the queue right now listening, hit the one on your dial pad, and that sends me a flag so I know to bring you on. You know, I mean, again, for me, the issue isn't about, you know, whether you have the right to work or not. Everybody has the right to work. But it's gotten to the point anymore where the unions have become the same corporate empire that they've always railed against, and they've forgotten about what it's like to protect the employee. Wages and benefits can be negotiated individually. You know, if you want to collect a bargain, that's great. But if you're going to sit there and let your employees be abused, then we've got a problem. So, you know, we want to make sure we're paying attention to this stuff, because Michigan is not the only state that's done this, folks. There's actually 23 other states. Yeah, they're the 24th state. There's actually 23 other states.
Yeah. They have 48% of the United States has this. And that's why I said, regardless of which side someone's on this issue, the name right to work might be misleading, but it's not really about whether you have a right to work there, because Ed's partially right about this, but the legislation prohibits what are known as closed shops, where you don't have a right to work there unless you join the union. So that's the whole thing. I mean, you always have a right to work there if you join the union. And to me, you got enough hoops and arrows and bells and whistles to get past with a company. Why would you want to then have to jump through the hoops of the union as well?
Well, I mean, and that's a major situation, too. I mean, you know, if the unions would police their own and get back to doing what they're supposed to be doing, you wouldn't see all this backlash against the unions. I mean, that to me is a real problem. Now, everybody wants to say that this is a conservative or a Republican thing. It's really not. It's really not. You know, it's a situation that, you know, we want to make sure that the employees are treated fairly. And I don't see that happening as much as it used to. And you want a good example of that? Let me tell you about unions, folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the UAW, Ford Motor Company, just got rid of the Teamsters Union. Okay, now you talk about solidarity. This is where I have some problems. They just got rid of the Teamsters Union when they rebuilt and retooled Louisville Assembly Plant. The Teamsters were the ones who ran the trucks who took all of the cars. All right? They took all the cars out. Oh, boy. Chat room's loading up with a bunch of people, so I'm assuming these might be those dialers. We'll find out. But
the
unions,
cars going in.
Well, we'll wait for them. But the union, but the union was the UAW. The Teamsters represented the trucking part of that. So the people that were moving the vehicles, were Teamsters. And when Ford retooled and they redid the contracts and everything else, they got rid of Teamsters. Now they're using private trucking, non-union labor. The UAW guys didn't stand with the Teamsters. They said, okay, no biggie. They went right back to work. And that's kind of the problem. And that's one of the
unions, I mean, they can be very hypocritical. I remember personally, and I won't name the particular union, I've been in a couple of unions, like I said, on different jobs I've had. And I remember a union that I was in at one time, and they had their union elections, and Ed knows how democratic union elections are. And the union elections, they passed out all their flyers and brochures and campaign literature. And they come to find out in this one particular union, this one particular year, I know it's one microcosm of a case, but their union paperwork they were passing out to vote for XYZ candidate was printed by non-union printers. Figure that one out.
Well, you know, that's a big thing. You know, when I ran for mayor in 2006, I made sure I used a union printer because I was a union guy. And that don't make that don't mean a lot to a lot of people. But
union printers, right? I think they wouldn't be so hypocritical not to even use union printers within a union election. But hey, I mean, everything I can say for union elections, at least they require you to show ID, right?
You never know. You never know. So let's go ahead and hit that. We got a couple of these calls in, man. We're going to see what's going on. Let's take it there. Here we go.
Hit the dumb
262 button. Number. 262 number. You're on the air.
Hi. Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
Hi. This is John.
Hi, John. What can we do for you, sir?
I keep getting my penis stuck in my toes.
Yeah, here we go. There's one,
I
down.
I knew the prank callers were coming in.
780 number. You're on the air.
What, me?
Yeah, you. What can we do for you, sir?
Well, I just joined the show, and I've noticed, like is the picture in the, like, above the play button you?
Okay, sure. Why not?
Yeah, is that you?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
We're gone. I'm not playing
this game. I told you I wouldn't take those
calls. Yeah, I know. I really probably should have listened to it if you let him get his shot in, but what the hell. But anyway, you know, so we've got to get into right to work. We've got to make sure that we're taking care of business. You know, but the unions have got to understand that they have got to get back to taking care of their business. They have got to get back to doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's protecting the rights of the workers. That doesn't just mean getting as much pay as you can get so that they can line their pockets. All right, they've got to protect the rights of workers. That's just the bottom line. And it's interesting here, too, because Governor Snyder in Michigan, you know, he was not after this. As a matter of fact, you know, he had repeatedly said he didn't want right to work on the agenda. He didn't want to be divisive. He didn't want the state divided over this. You know, but then on Tuesday, yesterday, he blamed the unions for the reason he signed a bill. Apparently, the unions were pushing Prop 2 in Michigan, and that was essentially going to enshrine collective bargaining rights in the state constitution. It was rejected by the voters in November, but the unions continue to push that button. Well, once they pushed that button, they kind of backed Governor Snyder into a corner, and he had no choice. So we've got to make sure we're taking care of that. We've got to make sure the unions are doing their job the way that they're supposed to. Let's try this one more time, man. 774, you're on the air.
I wouldn't do it, but it's that show.
You got to have fun. 774.
Hello?
Hello?
How are you?
Good. What can we do for you?
Do you sell Battletoads?
I didn't hear that, man. He's already gone. You know, we're not even going to go to phones for the rest of the night. Not people we don't know.
I kind of warned you. You can tell with
well, I know
people.
That, but it's still a lot of fun. You know,
I
like
but
to figure that every
people
now and then.
In the chat room.
It's just wasting my time right now.
I know. You figured the short bus pulled up, and all the retards are getting off the short bus and dumping into the chat room. So there you go.
There we go. In the meantime, another interesting story going on. You're going to love this one, Dale. Gatewood Galbraith, the late, great Gatewood Galbraith, everybody's favorite proponent for legalizing marijuana, kept marijuana on the front pages in Kentucky anyway. Well, now we've got somebody even bigger than Gatewood Galbraith to talk about marijuana. Former President Jimmy Carter has endorsed state efforts to legalize marijuana. He did that during a CNN forum yesterday. You know, of course, in Carter's time, when he was president, you know, he was supporting decriminalization of marijuana even back in the 70s. And, you know, he couldn't get it done. Well, now he's thankful that the states are actually taking steps to legalize the drug, especially towards decriminalization of it. What do you think about that, somebody of that caliber?
Well, I think that we need to decriminalize it. It's one of those things that we hear all these lies about it being a gateway drug, and I think if it's going to be a gateway to anything, it'd be a gateway to Twinkies that we just got rid of. So I don't think marijuana is ever going to be an issue. We definitely need to legalize it and empty out the prisons of all the nonviolent, non-offensive criminals that you've used tax dollars to put away.
Well, you know, you're right, and that's kind of the problem. We continue to have problems with marijuana. It's not really the marijuana issue legalizing that's a problem. The states are legalizing marijuana as we go along. States are finally coming around. The real problem isn't the states. The real problem is the federal oversight, because the feds are the ones who want to keep marijuana illegal for this so-called drug war that they're making money hand over fist on. You know, so how are we going to get past this? Because even in California, California passed medical marijuana laws, and California went nuts. I mean, you had a medical marijuana store basically on every corner for a while, and then bam, you know, the feds have finally come in and they've started holding these guys to a different standard, and a lot of these shops are now out of business. So, you know, and Colorado actually went to the next step. Colorado actually went to the step and said, hey, you can use it for personal use out in public. It don't even have to be medical marijuana. So,
well,
how,
the best
how
thing
we
that we did
this?
In Kentucky was we elected a real agriculture commissioner in James Comer, and he has been with us on this hemp issue. And I know this is separate from medical marijuana, so I don't want to confuse the two. But just to take up the hemp issue, it puts them against the federal authorities because, yeah, the federal government and the state police won't even come around to an industrial hemp. So, you know, we either got to get the feds to work with us or work around them. And I know that Mr. Comer, the Agriculture Commissioner, wants to work within the federal law. So we got to change some of these minds of these jackboot thugs, I guess.
Well, and that's exactly it. We've got to start changing minds of somebody because this is getting pretty disturbing. You know, and it's interesting, too, because Barack Obama has fully admitted to smoking marijuana, to doing cocaine, to all kinds of stuff. And, you know, of course, he, you know, is in favor of keeping everything illegal. And I find that kind of fascinating myself. I really, really do.
Oh, yeah, because he was all for smoking marijuana, you know, when it was about doing something behind the back of the man. But now he is the man, and he wants to beat down the same people that he was supposed to be. So it's called a personality. I don't see him going to war against the legalized pot. It's one of those things whereas, does he regret his own marijuana experience? It's not even like Bill Clinton, who said he didn't inhale. Barack made it very clear, along with George W., that they did these drugs. But then once they get into power, they want to arrest and put away people for victimless crimes who did the same thing that they did in their youth.
Well, that's exactly it. It's no different than the daggone senator who just got caught, the Democratic senator who just got caught with an illegal immigrant who was a registered sex offender. They're doing the same thing, right? I mean, that's the thing that always kills me, the hypocrisy of all of it. That's what really, really drives me nuts. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Hey, everybody. Gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
The government can.
And who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the trees? Run a business and collect up all the fees. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, cause they mix it up with lies and make it all this good.
Make it all this good.
The government takes everything we make to pay for all of their solutions. Healthcare, climate change, pollution. Throw away the constant. And who can give a bailout?
Who can give a bailout?
Tell us to behave.
Tell us to behave.
And make the founding fathers roll over in their grave. The government.
Folks, welcome back. I tell you what, it's constantly amazing to me You know, you try to have an intelligent conversation, and then you get a bunch of quacks. You know, that's nothing new. It's a lot of fun.
I'm just glad, Ed, that the special ed class from the local elementary school is all listening to the show tonight, because I know this completed their day. You know, from the time that they used their little walker to get off that short bus and get to school, they were looking forward to calling your show tonight. So I guess they got to have their joy.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the way it is. And that's okay, man. Everybody got to get their kicks one way or another. I guess I'll be their kick tonight. Man. But that doesn't take away from the message for the thousands of regular listeners who actually listen to this show who like to get informed. You know, we had a shooting in Portland yesterday. There was a Portland shooting at a mall, and two people are dead. And there's actually three dead. One of them is the shooter. Now, what's really going to make this interesting, and man, I hate that. I mean, all these people are copycats. I mean, these people don't even, they can't even be creative anymore. You know, one guy goes into a movie theater and shoots people, so everybody wants to do it. Guy goes into a mall and starts shooting people, so everybody wants to do it. You know, and I'm sorry, folks, I'm not trying to make light of this situation, but come on. I am so sick of this crime of the day. But nobody's talking about any of the real crime that's going on every day. You know, all the gang violence and all the other things that are destroying America right now. So here we go. But Jacob Tyler Roberts is the guy that shot two people in an Oregon mall Tuesday before he killed himself. Apparently there's no connection between this guy, the mall, or any of the victims. They haven't even come up with a motive yet. This guy apparently was wearing a white hockey mask and a load-bearing vest. And here's where we're going to get into this. He was also carrying a semi-automatic AR-15 rifle and several fully loaded magazines. His gun jammed, so he ran into a nearby Macy's store, and I guess that's when he shot himself. So you're going to get all these gun kooks out there who are going to say, oh, that's why we got to ban guns. That's why we got to ban guns.
Oh, the gun controllers. Yeah, you'll have the... All the idiots like Bob Costas will rear their little heads, and they'll tell you how the guns committed their crime. Well, let's go back to Bob Costas for a minute, whose 15 minutes of fame should have been up long ago. But he got on there, Bob Costas, whatever his real Jewish name was, before he got to him, Bob Costas. And he's on the air the other night. And if you remember, we had this situation where you had a gentleman kill his, I guess I shouldn't call him a gentleman, kill his girlfriend and kill himself, former Kansas City Chief football player.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bob gets on there and starts talking about, oh, it's all about these horrible guns and the gun culture where all these football players own guns. Well, I didn't hear Bob say anything this past week when another NFL football player as a drunken driver killed his teammate. Wonder if Bob will come out against drinking or driving anytime soon.
Probably not,
because Budweiser and Chevrolet pay a lot of money to pay his salary on television, so he's going to keep his mouth shut about drinking and driving.
There's an old saying, you don't bite the hand that feeds you, and he just figured that out. But, you know, it's interesting because you're going to have all these anti-gun nut jobs out there. And the first thing I'm thinking is we've got a guy running through the mall with an AR-15, already started firing off shots, and he's screaming, I'm the shooter, I'm the shooter. If somebody would have been concealed carry in that mall, maybe there'd be two lives saved right now.
Yep, and it all comes right on the heels of gun owners winning a ruling in Illinois.
There you go. Because Illinois, actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because Illinois' concealed carry ban, the federal appeals court in Illinois struck down the state's concealed carry ban, you know, and this is going to have some national repercussions. If they decide to appeal it, and I'm fairly sure they will, because Chicago, you know, they got to appeal everything because of Barack Obama, but they're going to appeal this thing, and they're going to ultimately try to appeal it to the U.S. Supreme Court. But Illinois was basically the last state in the country that had an absolute prohibition on concealed firearms by private citizens.
Yep.
And I find that fascinating because when you look at the crime in Illinois, primarily Chicago, if you don't think that there's a connection, you know, think again.
It's pretty clear that just a city that says that the law-abiding people – I've never understood this for 30-some years, however long, you know, we've been on this planet. I never understood how people expect – the non-law abiders to follow the law that goes by guns. Because if they didn't like the other laws and they kill you over them, why are they going to go by your gun laws? And the Seventh Circuit Appeals Court basically told the state lawmakers that they have 6 months to come up with their own version of legalized concealed carry.
Well, I mean, that's exactly it. You know, and I'm kind of curious why Illinois, with all the crime and everything else they have, decided they needed a concealed carry anyway. Because in the case of the Portland shooter, You know, they want to talk about the AR-15, but what most people don't know is that that AR-15 rifle was stolen. The shooter stole, Jacob Tyler Roberts stole the AR-15.
Right.
So this wasn't a situation where he got the gun legally.
Right.
He got it because he stole it. And that's the thing, because criminals don't care about legality, folks.
No.
That's just the way it is. You know, a criminal is going to get a gun. Anybody can get a gun in this day and age, legal or otherwise. That's just the way it is. You can go in downtown Louisville.
Yeah, from what I understand, I mean, Illinois is pretty much like the North Korea of the United States in their gun control laws. You go through Illinois, from what I understand, I try to stay away from that state, get about as far as Paducah, and I'll turn back around, but or go around it, go through Missouri, who has a little bit of common sense. But if you're going through Illinois, I've heard, and I can't confirm this, but I've heard that you literally have to have ammunition locked up, like in your trunk, if you're going through the state.
I don't know.
That's what I heard.
I honestly don't know the answer to
that. Ammunition, it has to be locked away. Because, you know, locked away ammunition is going to help you a lot if somebody tries to carjack you, right, Ed?
You're right. If they're going to jack your car, what are they going to do? They're going to pop truck up, see if there's any valuables. So.
Yeah, you got the low-lying criminals all the way to the top criminal in that state, and Rahm Emanuel, all the way up to whatever governor's in now. How many you got now? Three governors in a row in that state that are in prison right now?
Soon to be four. Take my word on that.
Wow.
But, you know, I mean, you're absolutely right. And that's the problem, because the Democrats in Chicago, the Chicago Mafia, and the Illinois Democrats, I mean, they like that. They want to control everything because they're scared for their own protection. But if they were doing their job, they wouldn't have to have that fear, would they? You know, you look at everything. You mentioned Rahm Emanuel, Rod Blagojevich, you know, Barack Obama. I mean, we can name a list, and we could put together a book of names out of Chicago alone.
Yep.
That are corrupt as hell, and you know that have caused all the problems we're seeing right now. I like the fact that the feds have outlawed the illegal ban, and I've always thought it was an illegal ban out of Illinois concerning concealed carry. I like the fact that concealed carry exists. I've got news for you. There's very, very few places that I go that I'm not armed.
Yep.
You know, and there's a reason for that. We all have people that you know. Aren't exactly friendly, but in my particular case, I've got quite a few, believe me. I've had the death threats. I've been confronted. I've been through all of that. And as a former military man, I never particularly went I never really particularly cared to have guns around the house and things like that. But, you know, when I started down this road a few years ago, you know, it got to the point where it was very, very necessary. You know, nobody's going to pull up on me, and I've actually had to draw it one time. Thank God I didn't have to fire. I don't want to have to deal with that, but I would have if I needed to.
Right.
But I've actually had to draw it one time, and I was thankful it was there. You know, so I mean, the legal citizens, the people who respect gun rights and gun laws and things like that, you're not going to have those problems with. But it's the illegal element that creates all of the problem. This guy stole the gun and went out on a shooting rampage. But you're going to have the anti-gun lobby out there screaming and hollering, well, if they didn't make the gun in the first place. That's not true. That's not true, folks.
Well,
you're not going to stop
automobile.
That.
I mean, I've seen people out on the social networks this past weekend having an argument when I bring up the drunken driving football player versus the one who shot his girlfriend. And when I brought out the issue of guns versus cars, people get all defensive. Oh, well, we're not going to have that argument. We can have a good conversation about gun control until you brought in automobiles. Well, cars kill a lot more people than guns, and nobody's trying to outlaw cars. I mean, I know Al Gore, somewhere between inventing the internet and raping women in D.C. hotel rooms, wanted to get rid of the combustible engine, but that didn't happen.
Well, you know, and drinking drivers behind those cars, you know, you get a guy drunk, And putting him behind a vehicle, you know, Bob Costas won't talk about it, but that's another problem. You know, but these are the things that we really need to start getting some serious discussions over. And, you know, I can't help but wonder, because there are thousands of documented cases each and every year where concealed carry saved lives.
Yep.
We have hundreds of people that get killed every year by criminal element and illegal shootings and accidental shootings. Okay, we understand that. But if a grown adult man is going to leave his gun laying around in a house with children, then you can't blame the gun for that. You have to blame the adult who was irresponsible.
Yep.
You know, and that's why that's half the problem. We've got to do it for the kids. Well, I'm sick of doing everything for the kids, because we don't really do anything for the kids. We do everything to the kids. If we're going to leave our weapons around and put them in that position, we've done it to them. We haven't done anything to protect them. And that's the problem. We've got to get back to personal responsibility. We've got to maturity. We've got to get back to making people take, you know, and value life again. And we don't. Eliminating guns is not the answer. Arming people is the answer. And if you want more on that, guys, Google a thing called Kennesaw, Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
K-E-N-N-E-S-A-W, Georgia. My brother-in-law was in the military and lived in Kennesaw for a couple of years. And he was as surprised as anybody when he bought a house in Kennesaw to live that he was told in order to purchase that house, he had to own a gun in the house. He had to purchase a gun and leave it in the house. He's like, what in the hell do you mean I've got to buy a gun? Well, you want to know why? Kennesaw has the lowest crime rate in the United States. And there's a reason for that. A criminal doesn't want to break into a house if he knows there's a good chance he's going to get shot. And
most areas are like that. I mean, if you're in a state, and I guess Illinois need not apply before this court ruling, but if you're in a state that's gun-friendly, like a Kentucky or to some degree in Indiana or Tennessee, you're not going to have as much crime in areas unless you just have a lot of criminals in that area. And criminals, some of them might be dumb, but the word gets around, they're going to go to the area where they don't think there are guns.
Oh, I agree. I agree totally. So this is going to be really, really interesting. You know, no criminal wants to confront anybody with a gun because they don't want to get shot. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how far Illinois is willing to go. My bet is they're going to make this the strictest concealed carry ban or the strictest concealed carry law that they can possibly make it. It's going to be almost impossible to conceal carry in Illinois, but they're going to have to make concealed carry an option. And I'm looking forward to see how that plays out in the Supreme Court because I know as sure as I'm sitting here, that's where it's going to go. Dale, we're on the edge of time, baby. Final thoughts.
Well, final thoughts. We'll talk back in the pop culture. We don't talk about pop culture a lot on our show, but the Rolling Stones, you know, they're still alive, believe it or not, rocking for about 50 years. And these guys, believe it or not, have released a new greatest hits package that includes a hard-hitting anti-establishment song called Doom and Gloom. And again, it's not a real newcome thing for the Rolling Stones. Back in 1991, they had a song about High Wire that stood up against the Persian Gulf War. They actually had a song, believe it or not, in 2005 called Sweet Neocon that stood up against the Patriot Act. So believe it or not, these old rockers who obviously have made a deal with the devil to be alive this long, they're standing with you, exposing bankers and endless wars and saying death to the New World Order.
Well, you know, it's fascinating because we talked a lot last night about HSBC and the bankers, since you bring that up. We talked a lot last night about HSBC, you know, criminal money laundering, black and white case, and none of these people are going to go to jail for their criminal behavior. And the thing that makes that so fascinating is we continue to have people right here in Louisville, Kentucky, that are going to jail for even less than that. I mean, if you want to look beyond, if you want to look at a national level, look at Martha Stewart, for example. Martha Stewart went to jail for insider trading, and it was worth about $250,000. We've got these bankers that are doing criminal money laundering through HSBC that just agreed to pay a $1.9 billion fine, but there's going to be no criminal charges brought about. We've got a story out today about insider trading at Playboy. Christy Hepner, Hugh Hepner's daughter, you know, was married to a guy named William Merovitz. And William Merovitz had been doing insider trading, buying Playboy stock and some other things based on information he was getting from her. She didn't even know about it. He had a separate brokerage account that he was using. And, you know, so instead of, you know, he's going to pay a fine and everything else based on about $100,000. You know, but these people are held criminally liable, but miraculously bankers aren't. So I'm glad to hear that other people are standing out like Stones and everybody else. But, you know, if you listen to a lot of the old music, since you brought up the Stones, if you listen to a lot of the old music, go back and listen to the 60s and 70s music. And I listen to that quite a bit, folks. I know I'm giving my age away there, but I listen to that quite a bit. And there's always two things that most songs from that era have in common. They're either talking about sex and wanting to get laid, Or they're talking about doing drugs, whether it's acid or smoking a joint. Every song, you can find a parable to one of those two things. Now, we look at what's going on today. Oh, I think you can see the correlation. That's it for tonight, folks. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, right here, TNT Thursday Night Truth with, of course, Dale the Truth Gillespie. He does his own solo show every Thursday night right here at 7. Don't forget Sunday night at 7 o'clock with our good friend Ken Molman and Liberty Unbridled. And I will be back again on Monday. In the meantime, you folks have a great night, have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.